Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Good to see all of you this morning. And thank you for all that has been shared here already. Appreciate that. Songs and children's class and all the inspirations. If you're able, stand with me and we will have a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you. We're here in your presence. Thank you. Thank you for being present with us. Bless again our assembly. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Each of us, in each of our lives, you understand who we are, where we find ourselves in life's journey. You understand our needs. Today we ask that your Spirit, through your word, would minister and touch and bless us, Lord. Thank you again for your care, for your preserving us as a congregation, keeping us in your care, helping us, Father, to continue in our journey with you. May today's service again be just one of those stepping stones, one of those road signs, one of those pointers that guides us in the right way. Father, again, thank you that we have freedom in our country to gather, to worship, to assemble undisturbed by those around us. Thank you for that. Pray that that could continue, and pray for those who do not have this freedom, that you would bless those who need to meet in secret, that the gospel would continue to go forth in lands such as that as well. So, Father, we commit our ways to you again this morning. Be pleased to dwell among us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, what I would call a very basic truth to share. I guess there's a lot of those. You can turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13 to 16, or rather 14 to 16 is my text today. I actually shared this message last Sunday at Peace Anabaptist. They had They have a young man, Kevin Peachy, who is leaving this week to go to Zanzibar for 2 years. And they had invited my wife and I to come. Kevin had spent the month in Ukraine with the CASP team several years ago. And so we had gotten to know Kevin well. And it was a blessing to be a part of their send-off service there, to send him off for 2 years to Tanzania now. So that was the context in which this message was developed. In some ways, I asked myself the question, so what's the context for it here today? I hope it has some context, and I hope that as I share, that will come through. As we, in each in our own place, in our own way, consider these words of Jesus. So, Matthew 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The ESV reads very similar and yet just a little bit differently. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. As I said, these are words of Jesus given on the Sermon on the Mount. And it seems like the group that he was speaking to at that point wasn't actually a real large group, if I understand the context correctly. In the beginning of chapter 5, it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and he gives his entire teaching. It says his disciples came unto him. It don't know exactly how many people that was. At one point he had 12 disciples. In another case he had 120 he sent out. So how many were these? I'm not sure. In verse 28 of chapter 7, and at the end of the sermon, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. I would deduct from that he wasn't actually speaking to a great vast multitude when he gave this sermon, but that it was actually those, perhaps the more committed of the bunch at that time, the disciples, those who really did actually have an interest in following him. And it was that kind of a group that he gave these words to: ye are the light of the world. And it's hopefully we qualify to be that group this morning, that Jesus would say these words to us: ye are the light of the world. Does that mean that everyone that professes the name of Christ fits that category? Ye are the light of the world. Consider that. The world in Scripture is often described as a place of spiritual darkness, and I suppose we understand why that is. We probably would class it that way as well when we look around us and see the condition of humanity outside of Christ, and not always just outside of Christ, eh? Our testimony as believers, and I use that word broadly, sometimes is sadly lacking quite a bit as well. In the Gospel of John, the Apostle says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Wickedness and darkness are kind of synonymous terms. Ye are the light of the world. In other words, we're shining, we're to light the way in the darkness, Stephen. So God has chosen his people to shine his light in that dark world where we find ourselves today. So what does that mean, and how do we do that? How do we fulfill that call? First off, I'd like to just consider the fact that we are called. It is a calling. Ye are the light of the world. let your light so shine. It is a calling. We are called to this responsibility, opportunity, whatever we want to, however we want to classify it. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. Philippians 2 verse 15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. And you know, that verse actually encapsulates everything I'll probably say this morning in about two sentences. Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So Scripture clearly identifies the world as a dark place, a perverse place, a crooked place, an evil place, darkness. Just a host of ungodliness on all sorts of levels and fronts. In the middle of that dark world, God has a few people that he wants to be lights, shining the way. God has a plan, actually, for some people that are light in that dark world. And you know, being a light, it's actually who we are. It's not what we do. We don't go about being a light. It's who we are. The light is actually a result of the life we're living. It's an indirect result. We don't focus on being the light. We focus on living the life, and the life is the light. We get it all backwards if we start focusing on, well, I got to be this light, and I need to do this and this and this to be this light. No, focus on the life that is godly and God-honoring, and the light is the automatic result. And that's what we want. That's what God is calling us to. So as the light, we are representatives of Christ in everything we do, in everywhere we go, in all the places we find ourselves. We should be, we are called to be representatives of Christ. And those who observe our lives will form some kind of an opinion of Christ, of who he is, of the truth about Christ. They'll base that opinion on what they observe in the lives of so-called Christianity. And if that is true, then for sure we want to have our lights shining, have our lights clear, have our lights bright, because it does have an effect on those who we interact with. Whether it's a poor effect or whether it's a good effect, it has some kind of impact, for good or for bad, for better or for worse, as we would say. So what's the secret to a life that is a light in the world? Are there secrets? Is there a secret? Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm going to start in the beginning of chapter 1. And we'll read about the true light that lighteth every man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we have a light shining, and the darkness into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Didn't consider it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the secret of being, having a light that shines is being, obviously, knowing and being connected to the true light. Which the true light is Jesus. You know the illustration that's familiar to us. The moon doesn't have a light of its own. It's only reflecting the light of the sun. And we don't have a light of our own. We are only reflecting the light of the Christ who is living within us. And so it's important that we are, that we know him and that we are connected to him. In John 9, verse 5, Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Of course, he's not here in bodily presence today. But today we are here. Today we can be that light. In John, in 1 John verse 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we will have our light shine, then we will need to walk in the light. We will need to keep that connection with him. Jesus in John 15 verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." So our light is a reflection of Christ. And our daily fellowship with him makes all the difference. Keeping our hearts in tune, keeping our hearts connected, keeping that relationship alive and real will make all the difference in our daily experience of life and light. Just like, the lights in here are shining because they are connected to a source of power. In the same way, if we disconnected that source of power, the lights would go out and there'd be no light. In the same way, our own lives, if we keep that connection to Christ and the source of life, then that life will flow through us and be a light. But if we allow that connection to become disconnected or dimly connected, lightly connected or barely connected, our lights will become dim at best and out at worst, perhaps. So is my connection with Christ firm, secure, vital, alive, or is it barely connected? Am I barely in touch with the light of life, with the Son of God? So how do our lights shine? Our lights shine through a godly life, as these verses in Matthew 5 says that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Good works, godly living, probably synonymous terms. Through good works, through a godly life, our lives can reflect the light of Christ to the world around us. Scripture mentions the fruit of the Spirit. With the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives, it's a light. Love, joy, peace. Joy was mentioned this morning. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, patience. The fruits of the Spirit. Kindness, putting it in some of our own terms. Kindness, compassion, honesty, going the second mile, returning good for evil. I read a story this week of a person, and this is in reflection of going the second mile. We get a magazine, it's almost a book called Plain Community Business Exchange. And I enjoy reading some of the articles there of people's businesses and how they got started and some of the highlights, and read of one this week, in the latest one, where a gentleman in his business had a situation. It was a feed business, had a situation where a customer purchased some things from him, went home, called back and said he didn't get what he ordered. And so whatever the deal was, finally the told the customer to bring it back and they'll give him the right thing. And when he came back, they gave him the right thing, and then the business owner offered to pay his gas debt for coming back, having to make the trip back. And that's what you call going the second mile, doing more than you'd have to. That's where, you know, how did Jesus say it? Don't even the unbelievers do good to those that do good to them. Don't even the unbelievers, you know, they'll go so far. But when you go further than you would need to is when your light really begins to shine. When we care about the person and that we're working with, and we go further than we need to because we want a clear testimony. We want our light to shine. We don't want to be known as those stingy Mennonites or those hard to deal with, you know, have that testimony. God help us not to have that testimony, but to have the testimony that we will actually go the second mile to try and make something right if something wasn't right in the first place. You know, people often see our actions before they actually hear our words. And let our light shine through godly living. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That's the call to godly living, a godly life, good works, so that to the point that the person who would like to slander you doesn't have anything to hook his, to hinge his slander on. There's nothing there. He can't find anything, just like it was with Jesus when they tried to prove him guilty. They didn't. No two men agreed to what this man had done wrong. May it be that way in your life and mine. You know, living a godly life is living a countercultural life. It's different than the culture around us in general. And sometimes we're tempted to just not want to be so different. And we're not promoting difference just for difference sake. We're promoting difference because of godliness in our own hearts and wanting to live a God-honoring life, and it comes out very different than the general culture and populace around us. You know, lights, as this scripture says, lights aren't lit to be put under a bushel. Lights aren't lit to be covered up and contained. Lights are lit to give light unto the house. And in the same way, our lives, let's not be ashamed to be culturally very different, because we're living a God-honoring life. And where that takes us off, you know, in a different, totally different path and a totally different approach to life and a totally different application to life, we need no shame. No shame. Let's not be ashamed of that fact. Let's not hide our lights. Let's not hide our godly approach to life. Let's not hide our... And obviously we're not out there on the street corners flaunting ourselves either. That's the other extreme. Or not extreme, but other ditch. But Jesus in Matthew or Mark 8, verse 38 says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So, God didn't save us to conceal our light. He saved us so we can reveal his truth to those around us. He saved us to be a light in a dark, ungodly world. So shine your light through good works, through godly living. Next point I like to think about is light exposes darkness. And I'm going to turn to John chapter 3, verse 19. John 3:19 says in Jesus' words again, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." And the verse 20 there, "lest his deeds should be reproved," actually, my center column says, "be discovered." You know, we all understand the natural effect of light. You know, like Stephen was trying hard to find his way in the darkness and he got totally turned around. You know, you walk into a room that's completely dark. If you don't know where you're at and what the content and context of the room is, you have no idea what you're going to stumble into. And as soon as you turn on a light, you can see it all. And that's exactly what we're seeing here in this scripture. Light, the light of Christ, the truth of Christ, it reveals everything. And people don't like that light, so they hide. and don't want their darkness exposed. I'm going to turn to Ephesians 5 as well. Ephesians 5, verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Again, the same idea. Light reveals light. Darkness conceals. Light reveals. To make manifest simply means to make something clear, visible, evident, or known. Light makes manifest. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. And then the question, does my life make things clear, visible, evident, or known? Is my light clear enough, shining brightly enough, that it actually does do that, makes things clear, visible, evident, and known? Do we strive to walk in the light, or are we comfortable around darkness? You know, we rub shoulders with people that are not walking in the light to a greater or lesser degree, depending on where you go, what, you know, what your associations are and business and interactions and community and whatever. And, you know, how do we respond when darkness is expressed and evident and works of darkness are present? Do we cringe? Do we reprove? Or do we remain silent? Do we let our lights hide under the bushel? Or do we let our light shine? As a Christian, we at times need to lovingly stand for truth, lovingly reprove the works of darkness, lovingly point the way to Christ and light, so that those who are in darkness might see the light and, yeah, wish for the light, desire the light. Light exposes darkness. Light also points the way to God. And again, this light reveals, obviously, Philippians 2, verse 15 and 16, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Shining as lights in the world. Back to that call. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. So God wants to use us as his people to point the way to Christ. Could be through witnessing, could just be through the way we respond to life and its difficulties, its challenges. You know, it's generally in the more... the tests come in the more difficult moments, and the light shines more clearly, probably, than also in those difficult moments. When everything goes well, and everything is easy, and everything is smooth, that's kind of normal. But when there's challenges, there was disruptions of the schedule, there was somebody that pulled out really close in front of you, and, you know, all those kind of things, it's in those situations that our lights can, our responses can point the way to God and testify that there is a better way to do life. So by living a godly life, we have the privilege of pointing others to Christ. Our lights point the way to God. And then the next thing I'd like us to consider a little bit is that our lights must continue shining all the time. Again, that verse there in Philippians, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights. You know, the Christian life requires perseverance. We can begin strong, we can begin bright, we can begin fervent, we can begin zealous, and we can lose our way, we can cool off, we can become lethargic, we can, for various reasons actually, the potential exists that our lights become dim, or even disappear completely if we aren't diligent. Faithfulness matters, continuing to shine through trials, through disappointments, through opposition are important. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The matter of becoming weary and faint in our minds is a very real issue, can be, very real potential in the middle of life's journey. Life doesn't always just flow real smooth. Life isn't always just they lived happily ever after situation, and the temptation to become tired in the journey is very real. Therefore, our lights, as the call, ye are the light of the world, it's important that we keep our lights shining. You know, a lighthouse, picture a lighthouse out on the seashore, it's not so important that it's shining on a calm, clear day, but it is important that it's shining in the middle of a storm. And the same is true for us. You know, I don't want to use the word not important, because it's always important, but for us to have our light shining is always important. The impact, or the from the perspective of the one who is needing the light, it's in the difficulties where the light is most needed. So may we keep our light shining. May we remain strong, remain true, remain fervent, remain vitally connected to God, and allow our lights to continue shining. And lastly, the purpose of our light is simply for God's glory. You know, Matthew 5:16 says that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we The intent of having our light shining is not for us. It's not for our glory. It's not for our recognition. But it's for God and His drawing the attention to Him, drawing the drawing the attention to God. The kindnesses that we show, the second miles that we go, the good that we return for evil, are all to reflect what God has already done in our hearts and what God can do in the hearts of others. And in that way, our lives can draw the attention or bring God to the forefront. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So the goal is that God would be glorified in our lives, in everything that we do, and that the shining of our lights by our godly lives, by our good works, by that connection that we have with Christ, that God would receive the glory and His name would be lifted up. So in conclusion, ye are the light of the world. As Christians, we are called to be a light. The key or the secret to having our light shining is to be connected to the true light, which is Jesus Christ. Keep that connection vital and clear. And it's through our godly lives, our good works, living the life of Christ within, that our lights do shine. And that light exposes darkness around us, helps others to see the darkness in their own lives, and then points the way to Christ, points the way to God. That is a call that you and I have. It's up to us as Christians to be that light. No one else is going to be the light. We didn't really explore the concept of whether every professed Christian is actually a light, and I think we know quite well that unfortunately that's not the reality. Some of Christianity actually points people into darkness, which is unfortunate, but we are called to be lights. May we ever diligently have our light shining and walking with God in such a way that our lights do shine, and to keep them shining till we cross the finish line. And through that, we bring glory to God, which is ultimately what should be happening. If you are able, kneel with me, and I will close briefly with prayer. Father, we are thankful again today to be here in your presence, and thankful that we have the scriptures before us and the teachings of Jesus, and we can examine them, we can consider our own hearts, we can adjust our lives according to the compass, the Word, rather than trying to adjust the Word to fit our lives. Lord, help us with this, to ever be diligent. You have called us to be lights in this world that we live in this day and in this age, in this generation. Grant us, Father, the grace and courage to do that, to be lights in a dark world, to let our light so shine. And Father, thank you for the lives that may have been impacted. We pray there could be many more in each of us as we interact with various people in life's journey, that we could turn, we could impact people for Christ, that the light of our lives could show the way for someone else to get connected with you, to make that true connection with the true light. So, Father, bless each one of us in that endeavor, in that opportunity, and in that calling. Again, Father, we commit our ways to you. Be our Father, be our guide, fill us with your Spirit to enable us to walk diligently and earnestly in the ways of Christ and of godliness. So again, we commit our hearts and lives to you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.